Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Looks like we're here at the historic Clay County Courthouse once again at 9 o'clock in the morning on WVFB-FM 101.5 Kicks Country with the Clay County Corner. As we do each Thursday morning here at 9 o'clock, we come to you live and in living color on your radio dial. And we've got an interesting show this morning. We've got a couple of young men up here. We're going to talk about the Clay County Sports Hall of Fame for a little bit, and then also toward the end of the show, we're going to do a little rundown on the Christmas at the courthouse activities that are coming up here. We've got quite a few things to do. We want to remind everyone that this, of course, comes on at 9 o'clock in the morning and here on Thursday, and then there's a repeat this afternoon about 6 o'clock, and I believe we still do a little streaming on the Clay County Horizon. Got those there. We've actually got a representative from the Horizon here this morning, so he can vouch for me on that. They are there, and so we've got all that going on here, and we just finished up a great weekend here in Salina. We had their shop small town, and I think most of the merchants here said they had enjoyed one of the best weekends that they had had in a long, long time. And so that went well, and we've got some things coming up here the next two weekends. So we'll talk about that a little bit toward the end of the show. But right now, I guess we'll take a little short break to begin with and come back, and we might delve into what happened on this day in history a little bit, and then we'll talk about we got a few public service things to do here. We'll be back and start with our little discussion about the Clay County Sports Hall of Fame. But right now, let's take a little short break, and we'll be back with you just in a minute.
As we grow older, aging can present emotional and behavioral problems that often go undetected or ignored, but this is not a part of the normal aging process. Senior Care Unit, located at Cumberland River Hospital in Salina, Tennessee, is devoted to helping older adults and their families deal with these changes. The Senior Care Unit provides a comprehensive approach with a highly skilled staff to pave the way for coping with these difficulties. Referrals to senior care can come from anyone at any time. Don't suffer alone. Senior Care is there to help your family when you need them most. For more information or to make a referral, please call 1-800-777-8553 or 931-243-5265.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Welcome back, everyone. Once again, I'm sitting here at the one of the old office buildings here in the courthouse. We've got the fireplace on this morning. We've got the place decorated up a little bit, getting ready for the mistletoe market and Christmas courthouse coming up here. But before we get into anything real serious, we've got a few things here on Today in History, since I'm an old history teacher. A couple of things, points of interest. The first one I saw here today I thought was kind of neat. I know it doesn't apply to me, but I guess some folks it may apply to a little bit. It, in 1487, the Germans issued the beer purity law in Bavaria. Albert, looked like he's about the fourth, Duke of Bavaria, stated that beer should be brewed only from three ingredients, water, malt, and hops. So we got that cleared up a long, long time ago. And I thought this was kind of interesting. In 1753, Benjamin Franklin received the Godfrey Copley Medal on account of his curious experiments and observations on electricity. I wonder what men would think today if he'd seen all the things that electricity was doing today. But looking on down through 1776, Captain James Cook took his third and last trip to the Pacific, because I don't think Captain Cook made it back. I think he got wiped out somewhere in Fiji or somewhere, didn't he? And let's see, looking on down through our list here of things that happened, I know in 1864, here in Tennessee, the Battle of Franklin took place, and Confederate attack failed, and there were 7,700 casualties that day at the Battle of Franklin. And let's see, looking on down through here, we've got the Follies Bezier staged its first review in Paris in 1887, the first indoor softball game in Chicago.
1887, wow.
Softball. So I guess we were playing softball before we were baseball, I guess, weren't we? Let's see, what else down through here we've got? In 1822, before he was banished out of the country for the first time, Adolf Hitler spoke to a group of about 50,000 National Socialists in Munich. That was when he was trying to start a little rebellion against the German government, and they banished him, but as we all know, he did make it back. Let's see, looking on down through here, today in history, this is a good one here also, in 1928. Vladimir K. Workin receives a patent on iconoscope television system. So our television system started about 1928. I think that in 1952, this course, this is a more somber note, something you know that our country still hasn't cured today. In 1952, Jackie Robinson made a public charge against the New York Yankees for racism. He being the first man of color to break the line in baseball, and of course we've all seen his story and all the problems that he had. Floyd Patterson became the undisputed world champion in boxing by knocking out Archie Moore, the ageless wonder Archie Moore, who boxed until I think he was about 55 before he finally retired. But on today, it's like I said, that's just a few things that happened this day, fellas. I know that you guys are kind of interested in history, and I look through these things every day, and we come up with a few things. Teaching history never gets out of your blood, I guess.
It doesn't need to. It needs to be preserved.
Absolutely, which is what we're talking about today here in a few minutes, isn't it? And let's see, here's the gun. Pam Westrick brought this by, not Pam Westrick, but about Pam Westrick. Judith Cutright brought this by. The Clay County Library recently received a donation of $29,000 from the estate of the late Pam Westrick, and that puts their building fund at $90,000. And, of course, that's a great way to remember Pam, who was a teacher here in the local system for a number of years and spent a number of years up in the community that she really loved up at Maple Grove. And, of course, we do miss having Pam around. She was quite a character in our neighborhood here. And
she was.
We do miss her.
A great supporter of Clay County.
Yes, she was. And also that Pam is issuing a challenge to the community with a penny drive. We would like to see what 10 million pennies or 1 million pennies look like. So if you have a penny, find a penny, pick it up, and bring it to the library. And we'll see how long it takes for our community to donate 1 million pennies into the bucket.
Well, I can't do my math right now on the spot. That's quite a bit of money.
Yes, it is. You know, that's like the old math thing, wasn't it? Would you agree to work for someone for a penny a day if they doubled it every day for a year?
I think even by the end of a month, that's almost $1 million. Yeah.
Let's see, Tanya Spears brought this by. Come by and join the Clay County Democrats and meet their candidate, Mary Alice Carfee, who is running for the Tennessee State Senate in the special election on December the 19th. And early voting started November 29th, and said this is an excellent opportunity to meet and discuss issues that affect everyone in Clay County. And the location will be Clay County Community Center on Saturday, December the 2nd. That's coming up pretty quick now. Time from 1 to 3. Refreshments are served, and everyone is welcome. And then also, Wendy Spence, I never can get Wendy's name absolutely right, but she would like for us to announce that the last food distribution of the Clay County Mobile Food Pantry Second Harvest for 2017 will be tomorrow, December the 1st, at the fairgrounds. And she's asking you please not to arrive before 8 a.m. Food distribution will begin around 9:15, depending upon the arrival of the truck and availability of the food. And this food distribution is for Clay County residents. Okay, do we want to get started or take a little short break?
Well, let's take a break, and we'll come back and just give it all to them.
Okay. We'll be back just in a minute, and we'll get started on the Hall of Fame, among other things, where we may wander off before this day is over with.
Hey, Clay County. Dairy Queen in Salina and Kix Country want to give away a free ice cream cake. That's right. You can win a delicious ice cream cake from Dairy Queen in Salina for a friend or a loved one having a birthday or anniversary. And all you have to do is call 243-5574. Call 243-5574, speak clearly, leave the name of the person having a birthday or anniversary, and the date of the birthday or anniversary. Please leave your name and number so we can call you back if we have any trouble understanding your message. Then, every Thursday between 9 and 10 a.m. on the Clay County Corner, we'll read all of the birthdays and anniversaries collected that week. We will then, at random, pull out the name that will receive that delicious ice cream cake from Dairy Queen in Salina. That number again is 243-5574. Write it down. 243-5574 to win an ice cream cake from Kix Country and Dairy Queen in Salina.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes. And you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy, which is great because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can.
Should have worn my glasses.
So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Welcome back, everyone. We have with me this morning Daniel Strong and Thomas Weaver here. We're going to talk about the Sports Hall of Fame a little bit. Remind everyone that we're going to be reading the birthday and anniversary names here in a few minutes and giving away one of those delicious ice cream cakes from over at the Dairy Queen. And the number to call here is 243-5574, and speak slowly and clearly into the answering machine. And you might want to repeat the name twice to give me a chance to mess up two times instead of just one. So with that, we'll read those here about halfway through the show, and then we'll have a little drawing toward the end of the program, and someone will win a delicious ice cream cake. So we'll, I guess, fellas, who wants to start today?
Well, let's kind of let Thomas Weaver start here. We've got two Thomases. We do want to talk about the Clay County Sports Hall of Fame. Nominations are open for that right now, and we're supposed to run out this Friday, but that's been extended. Thomas, just I'll turn it over to you and let you talk about the Hall of Fame logistics a little.
Well, first of all, Coach, appreciate you inviting us in today. We do need to get the word out about this Clay County Sports Hall of Fame, because as we've said before, if we don't get nominations, then people don't have the chance to get inducted, Coach.
Right, and there are lots of folks that kind of slip through the cracks here. Sometimes it might be a good idea to go out and walk through the halls of Old Salina High School and look at some names up there. And once you see the names, you know, it does bring back, sparks back those memories. I know you guys brought a couple of names here that were, I guess they were upperclassmen when I was a freshman, sophomore in high school. They were tremendous athletes. And a lot of folks don't know about those.
That's true, and there's three categories for the Clay County Sports Hall of Fame. There's a category called Heritage Members, and those are for people who primarily played or coached 50 years ago, more than 50 years ago. A lot of statistical information is not available on them, so it's always nice to get those names thrown out there, primarily from memory. And then also the other two categories would be the athlete division. It kind of includes coaches as well. I know Coach Watson, you were in that inaugural Hall of Fame class and went in as a coach in that area. And then there are those that are contributors. We've had different ones. One of the more recent ones I recall would have been Randall Walker. Maybe last year got voted in for basically 30 plus years of giving up all of his fall and a lot of times his winters to the youth here in Clay County. So athletes, contributors, and heritage members can all be voted in.
And one of those contributors is our Uncle Daniel, Don Napier, who,
right,
you know, for years and years covered Clay County sports in the newspaper. And Uncle Don, along with Bobby Westmoreland and some of these other guys, are the ones that kind of came up with this idea and put it to work. And we want to try to keep that thing going, and it has to become through nominations from the public. We, like Daniel said, we have extended that deadline to December 15th. I think that's the Friday after next. So
yes,
it'll give us about 2 weeks. And the nomination process is simple. We have set up a website. My father, Bob, kind of volunteered and donated this website. It's clayco.com, and there you can find not only a list of current inductees, but also nomination forms that can be downloaded, or they can be picked up in person at Clay County High School. They're at the front desk. Daniel, as vice principal, is always there to answer anybody's questions about the nomination process. And then they can be returned either by dropping them off at Clay County High School, by emailing them to nominate@clayco.com, or by mailing them to the school at 860 Clay County Highway here in Salina.
Certainly, we need people to do that. As you say, you can do it online or in the traditional way, come by the high school, pick up a physical copy of the form, and nominate people. We have about 105 members, I think, that are currently in the Clay County Sports Hall of Fame. That initial class came back in 2010. We've still got a lot of good names out there that are not currently in that deserve to be.
Right, and I think also, guys, that if, you know of someone and you don't know a lot about you remember some of the things they did, you don't have any kind of statistics, I think if you would just turn in a name and an era that they played in, that some of the folks on the that are members of the Hall of Fame, or some of the folks that are on the committee, they wouldn't care a bit to go over to the high school and try to search through yearbooks and stuff and to add some statistics to those things. But we realize a lot of this stuff gets shuffled and lost throughout the years, and a lot of our older athletes no longer live here. Some of them are deceased. And also, I think we need to mention that this is not the Clay County High School or Hermitage Springs High School,
right,
Hall of Fame. This is for any outstanding athlete that has brought attention to our county in any way. We have a number of folks in there that weren't high school athletes. Right offhand, the name comes to Wendell Cherry.
Yes, trap shooting, I believe.
Yeah, the sport clay shooting, who is a national champion. But he, when he was in high school, he was more concentrating on picking the guitar and made a career out of that for a number of years. So there are folks like that in our softball teams that were here. I know there's some of those guys that were tremendous athletes that actually didn't realize they were great athletes until they got out of high school.
That's another category that Daniel brought up before, too. Maybe nowhere in the world is there some of the marble players. You know, we have...
Right. We currently don't have...
the mecca of that.
Yeah. I believe Junior B. Strong is a world champion back in the 90s in that, and a lot of diversity. Thomas Watson, you mentioned the other day, Ricky Arms, I think. He's currently not in, but a national race car driver.
Yeah, he won a national championship, and I don't know how many different races he won, and I know he competed against some of the guys that are running the NASCAR now, and was actually in the running for the Lucas Oil thing, which is the big thing now, Rookie of the Year, when his sponsorship money ran out.
Yeah, but it all comes back to, we can sit here and mention these names, but it all comes back to the public actually making an official nomination,
right,
of these people. And then, like you said, we want all the details we can get on the nomination form, if they're available.
And
if they're not, do what you can. We'll do some research.
Yeah, even if it's just the name, as you mentioned, if we don't have information on it, so be it. But throw a name out there if that's all you can do.
And that's part of what we'll do is try to compile some information for the voters. And that is one thing we probably do need to mention. These, after the nominations are made, it goes through a committee which kind of determines how many might be inducted that year. And then it's voted on by the current members. And you said there's over 100, Daniel?
I think there's 105 that are currently have been inducted. We had some very large initial classes, and rightfully so. Everybody was really excited in 2010, 2011, those first 2 years to get all those that were deserving in there. And those first two classes were quite large. Since then, they've got a little smaller in size, and we do have current athletes who actively will become eligible. You have to have ended your playing career. If you're talking about high school athletics, that career has to be done for 10 years. Closely, we're approaching some young ladies who won a state championship back in 2012. About 4 years from now, they'll be eligible. So we've got old names out there, but we've got new ones that are coming too.
And then one other thing to mention, once we get these nominations, we get the voting compiled, the new class will be announced in the Del Hall Horizon newspaper about a week prior to our ceremony, which will take place on Saturday, January 13th at the halftime of the girls' game versus Cumberland County. We're starting a meet and greet reception. Couldn't remember, Daniel. Was that
tip-off would be
before?
6, so probably no sooner than 4:30, no later than 5, somewhere in that area.
We'll have a meet and greet for the class, their family, and those interested. Then they'll play the girls' first half, and at halftime, we will have our induction ceremony and introduce the new class to the public.
So we're not going to do the we're going to go through the thing like we've been doing in the past at the reception, or just save all that for halftime of the ball game, which simplifies things quite a bit.
It does, but those new inductees will still have that opportunity to address the public through the Del Hall Horizon newspaper, and also through interviews that we might air on the game, basketball game of the week showings that we have on the Horizon Sports Network.
Right, we need to, like you guys said, we need to get, you know, the word out a little bit. I know we, to begin with, when we had all those large classes and their families all showed up, you know, we had a house full of folks. And it seemed like we didn't, and I don't know, I guess we can, those of us that were among the early folks coming in and the ones that of us that were kind of in charge, we didn't emphasize that we needed more just plain old public participation to be there, that it wasn't just for those inductees and their families, that it was a meeting that anyone that's interested in sports future need to be, to come out and see these folks.
Well, the first few years with such large classes, those were great events, the ceremony, the banquets, that kind of thing. Now we anticipate smaller classes as we move forward. Therefore, there's not necessarily a need for that banquet. There may not be enough people to have a banquet. So we thought we would take the crowd that's at the ball game and let that be who they're introduced to, besides being introduced in the newspaper the week prior and follow-up coverage of the induction.
Okay, let's take a little short break here and get in a few messages from our sponsors, and we'll be back just in a minute and continue on this line of thought and, you know, some of the things we may try to think of to get folks kind of roused up a little bit and get some names in here.
Absolutely.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Recycling means to use something again. Newspapers can be used to make new newspapers. Aluminum cans can be used to make new aluminum cans. Glass jars can be used to make new glass jars. Recycling often saves energy and natural resources. It almost always takes less energy to make a product from recycled materials than it does to make it from new materials. Don't forget to add up the savings and be energy wise.
As we grow older, aging can present emotional and behavioral problems that often go undetected or ignored. But this is not a part of the normal aging process. Senior Care Unit, located at Cumberland River Hospital in Salina, Tennessee, is devoted to helping older adults and their families deal with these changes. The Senior Care Unit provides a comprehensive approach with a highly skilled staff to pave the way for coping with these difficulties. Referrals to Senior Care can come from anyone at any time. Don't suffer alone. Senior Care is there to help your family when you need them most. For more information or to make a referral, please call 1-800-777-8553 or 931-243-5265.
You're going to need me. You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise, we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Once again, we're back, and we're still on the Hall of Fame. We hadn't wandered off of that yet, have we?
No, we've still got plenty to talk about. As you mentioned, Thomas, you wanted to go back, maybe discuss some old names that not only were in, but maybe were not in. I know one that we talked about earlier, going back into the late 50s, the late John Clark Donaldson was an outstanding offensive lineman, I believe, for
right.
The Salina High School football team.
That would have been from about 1956, 7, somewhere along in there up until
for
about...
Pretty good memory. I showed that he was made the All-Cordell Hull Conference team both in 1958, which was probably his junior year, and in 1959, his senior year. That's just one example, among others, of the forefront to me that is not in the hall that was a great player.
Right.
And again, it takes someone to nominate him to get him in. One thing I do want to say, Daniel, you know, he wouldn't have this information if it wasn't for the research he's done. He's got all this information on football that we used on the Horizon Sports Network during the Bulldog football season. And I want to personally thank him for that, and I know Bulldog fans need to thank him for it, too.
Well, no, my coaching years, we don't have a lot of, I guess, black and white and statistics down where we can get to them, because during the move from Salina High School to Clay County High School, there were, I guess, three boxes full of scorebooks.
Right.
Miss Geneva Renault, who was the secretary there, religiously collected each scorebook. From coaches, from Coach John Peoples, up and through the time that I was coaching, she collected those at the end of the year, and she kept them in the safe there at Salina High School. And during the move somewhere, they're probably still in existence. We can ever track them down. That has all of the statistics for all the basketball players from about 1953 up until about 1990.
Well, I went to the old high school about 2 weeks ago and went all through the underneath the gym, which has been turned into storage, and looking for those relics, went into the old high school library and the auditorium up on the stage and looking for a box with some old green books, scoring books, and didn't see any. But if anybody out there is listening and they have a box of old Salina High School basketball scorebooks, we'd love to have them over at the high school.
I know those were, I know she protected those things and took care of them every year, and they were there, but like I said, somewhere along the line, you know, someone may have mistaken them for just a box of old junky books.
Well, that's one reason, again, now on our Game of the Week broadcast, Daniel is compiling history, basketball history, but we're only starting it since consolidation. What year was that, Daniel?
The 2007-2008 basketball year, that school year. The last 10 years since the consolidation of the high schools here in the county. And that's a starting point. We hope to go back further and get into those names. I know Coach Watson from all your years of coaching, not only the great teams in the mid-'80s with Joey Coe and Jeff Harms and Tracy Strong and others, but even before that in the 70s, in the mid to late 70s, they were outstanding teams.
Absolutely, a bunch of them. I guess the first year that I coached, we made it to the semifinals of the regional tournament. I think that was... that was Gary Strong, James Strobaugh, and I think some of those guys.
Maybe Uncle Walt.
Walt and Walt Weaver.
Bill Nathan. We've been on
Bill
that
on those teams. Of course, some of those guys are in the Hall of Fame already, but they were all tremendous athletes. And you know, like I said, those records are gone. But now, I'm sure also, guys, that there are people out here in the community that have those scrapbooks.
Well, sure. And that was good coverage from maybe not a local newspaper. I don't think that began until the mid-'70s when Don Napier started up the Citizen Statesman. But the Herald Citizen and the Tennessean, maybe the Nashville Banner might have had some coverage back then.
Right. And, you know, most folks did that. They kept all the articles related to their grandson or whatever, granddaughter. But guess what, folks? Everybody's statistics are in those articles.
Yeah.
Because they're not the only ones that mentioned that you did.
That's right.
And, and also, I don't know how you would ever get access to it, but I know the Nashville Tennessee and the Nashville Banner have all of those old newspapers. I guess they're probably still on microfiche or microfilm.
Tennessee Tech has got a lot of that stuff on microfilm, and then down at Nashville at the public library that's available.
And I know, of course... In basketball, it would require going through a lot of old newspapers from on Tuesdays and Fridays for a great big number of years. But all those old box scores are preserved there, but it's just a matter of logistics of getting them out.
And that goes back to what Daniel's done in football. Can you imagine the archives he's dug through to get from 1970 to the present?
That's 10 games a year, though. Basketball's about 30, so.
Yeah. Sometimes a whole lot more than that. And that's something, guys, do you guys know, has NCAA limited the regular season schedule again this year? I've noticed we're
for
playing like 20 regular season games.
I think there is a cap on it. I can't.
I know they keep reducing it just a little bit each year. Yeah. It seems like, the basketball.
I know when you coached, you had, 30 regular season sometimes?
We played 30, 38 or 39.
Yeah.
We played in the 30s just about every year. But I noticed, as the football playoffs have increased, the basketball season has kind of decreased,
sure.
Which I guess means we're getting more money out of football than we are at the state tournament.
The championships are going on today at Tennessee Tech for single A, triple A, and 5A.
In
football, that's right, here it is December.
And I guess, how many years ago was that doubled from 3 championships to 6?
It's been a while. They went from 3 to 5 to 6, and there's 3 private schools.
With the private schools.
Tom Krieger of the Tennessean, I read an article last night he had written about, do we really need 9 state championships in football?
I don't think we do, but anyway, going back to some of the names, I'm going to throw out a few names that show up in postseason accolades for football, and you're going to know a lot of these names, Coach Watson, and I'm going to let you maybe elaborate on a few of them. Going back to 1955, Jack Butler. In 1956, Billy Joe Masters. In 1958, as we mentioned, John Clark Donaldson, George Melton, Jerry Stevens. In 1959, Mayfield Brown. I don't know if Mayfield's inducted or not.
I don't think so.
Brown is. But Mayfield, we also see Fay Donald Watson. From 1960, Noel Cherry. 1961, Donnie Peeler. Jumping up to 1965, we see Daniel Boone. In 68, Walter Lee Arms, Jerry Burnett, David Turner, Wallace Walker. In 69, Stephen Chipwood and Champ Ed Clark. And then we'll stop at 1970, Gary Austin, Mike Barlow, and Dale Beatty. All those are names that currently are not in the hall. If anybody feels they're deserving, please nominate them. I personally don't know enough about those careers. That was 20 years before I was born in some cases. But several other names received postseason accolades on those years. I didn't call those names because they're already in the hall.
Right, and also during that period of time in the early 50s, Coach Teeple's girls basketball team won the Livingston Invitational, which was basically the number one girls basketball tournament, probably outside the, I don't know where we had a state tournament those years or not, but they, that was the number one girls basketball tournament in the state of Tennessee at that time. And I know there were a number, a few of the ladies on that have been inducted, mm-hmm. but there were a bunch of those in along about that period of time. I know maybe Mabel Brady Brown, Loretta Rich, some of those have made it in, but there were a number of tremendous female athletes that came along about that time.
We are bad sometimes to forget the female athletes, I think. Don't have as many sports, don't play football, of course, so you're looking at mostly basketball, sometimes softball, and we've got just a plethora of good female athletes out there, especially from the old years as well, that we forget about.
And also, you know, our early softball teams, there were a bunch of tremendous athletes, and I guess the first group, I think 4 years after softball was initiated, that they actually won a regional tournament. And I think they were maybe, you know, the first modern, if you want to call it modern age, girls team that, you know, that made it out of a district into a region. And they may have really helped set that winning attitude, because a lot of those girls played basketball and softball. One particular that comes to mind is Patricia Strong, who was an anchor on the softball team as well as an anchor on the girls' basketball team. So there were a bunch of those. You know, looking back through that, Tamara Eads, I'm trying to think of Thompson's first name, the young lady that was the catcher on that team. I know they were tremendous athletes. Right. Lori Thompson, who was an outstanding, we had two outstanding shortstops at that time, Lori Thompson and Tamara Eads. And so Lori, who of course really wanted to be shortstop, she actually may have turned into maybe one of the best catchers that ever played in this area, because she had that shortstop arm, had that shortstop fielding ability, and I know for a couple, 3 years there, she pretty well dominated that plate. Nothing got by her, and nobody got second base.
That's an overlooked position, but probably maybe the most crucial to the team.
Hey, let's take a little short break and get into it. Before we take that break, I'm going to read off the names that were celebrating a birthday. I don't think we got any. I think maybe we did have one anniversary, but looking down through our list of names today that are celebrating, and we'll have a chance to win one of those delicious birthday cakes from out at the Dairy Queen are Autumn Thompson. I believe Autumn is celebrating her 30th birthday, and this is from her her mama, her Granny Comer, and her great-grandma, Lola Morris, and I think she celebrated the birthday on the 30th. And then I think her son celebrated a birthday on the 17th. The same folks would like to wish him a happy birthday. And let's see, also on the 18th, now we're looking at a couple of weeks here. Forgot to mention that since we weren't here last week. Betsy Fox celebrated a birthday on the 18th. And I think her husband Jerry called that one in. And also Lindsay Scott celebrated her 14th birthday in this past 2 weeks, and this was called in by Granny and Pa, and they'd like to wish her a happy birthday. Then on the 23rd, Kaylin Spears celebrated a birthday, and also celebrating a birthday during this period of time was Betty Thompson. And also on the 27th, Randall Gray celebrated a birthday. And I think this one, I wasn't real sure on the first name, but I think Ruth and Tony Copas on the 29th celebrated a birthday. And I had one anniversary, and I played it about 400 times, I think, but I think it was Jimmy and Nora Watts celebrated, and it was called in by Angie and Brandy. Now, if they win, Angie, Brandy, you need to let us know if we've got that correct or not, and go over to the chamber and make sure that they know that. White. I just got corrected. The last name is White. I just couldn't make that one out. Jimmy and Nora White from Angie and Brandy. And thanks to my voice in my ear that corrected me on that one. Barbara Hale from out in the Union Hill community celebrated her 59th birthday, and this came from her entire family, her children, and all of her cousins and everything. They'd like to wish her a happy birthday. And I had one belated that is kind of belated. Barbara Lankford's cousin, Sandy, called in to wish her a belated happy birthday on October the 23rd. I guess we can't let her go into the drawing, but we'd like to wish her a happy birthday.
Well, one more that they won't officially be entered in the drawing. My wife, Tiffany Strong, celebrated the birthday on Monday the 27th, a few days ago.
And let's see, I think maybe Bryce Barlow, one of my great nephews, celebrating the birthday. We'll not put him in there, but we'll mention him. So maybe his grandma, Wealthy Strong, is listening and know that we wished him a happy birthday today. And with that, we'll take a little short break, and we'll be back here just in a minute. Toward the end of the show, we'll go through our non-computerized, highly technical selection system and pick out a winner. And will they actually go out to the Clay County Chamber and pick up a certificate and take it over to the Dairy Queen and swap it for one of those birthday cakes? Now, I know a couple of weeks ago we had a winner that beat me back to the chamber with the name. I'm not going to call their name, but you know who you are. And we got that taken care of. But right now, let's take a little short break. We'll be back just in a few minutes.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Alvin and the Chipmunks want to remind you to keep bacteria and food from making you ill with four simple steps.
These should be a walk in the park.
Clean, wash hands and surfaces often.
I'm waiting for the rinse cycle.
Separate, keep raw meats away from ready-to-eat food.
Yep.
Cook, make sure meat, poultry, and seafood is cooked to the right temperature.
Fire in the hole!
And chill, refrigerate food promptly.
Yep.
Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council. The road trip to food safety starts at foodsafety.gov.
Hey, Clay County, Dairy Queen in Salina and Kix Country want to give away a free ice cream cake. That's right. You can win a delicious ice cream cake from Dairy Queen in Salina for a friend or a loved one having a birthday or anniversary. And all you have to do is call 243-5574. Call 243-5574, speak clearly, leave the name of the person having a birthday or anniversary, and the date of the birthday or anniversary. Please leave your name and number so we can call you back if we have any trouble understanding your message. Then, every Thursday between 9 and 10 a.m. on the Clay County Corner, we'll read all of the birthdays and anniversaries collected that week. We will then, at random, pull out the name that will receive that delicious ice cream cake from Dairy Queen in Salina. That number again is 243-5574. Write it down, 243-5574, to win an ice cream cake from Kix Country and Dairy Queen in Salina.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes. And you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy, which is great because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can.
Should have worn my glasses.
So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Welcome back, everyone. On the sporting note, guys, what's your opinion? Should have LeBron been thrown out of the ball game the other night?
I'll have to let Thomas Leeser go for that, and I didn't see the clip.
I'm too busy worried about Clay County, honey. Boys,
that was a major topic of discussion forever on ESPN last night. But guys, a little bit more on the Hall of Fame. I know we still got some more stuff that we need to cover here pretty quick. Golly, it's nearly 9:45, fellas.
Well, time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah, get us talking about sports between us three. It could take longer than an entire show. I think the bottom line here about this whole reason why we're here is trying to get the public involved, because the future of this organization is totally dependent on the participation of the public. Because unless people are nominated, those worthy of the honor will never be inducted.
And if somebody has been nominated in years past, and after 3 years, if they're not elected, that name is removed from the hat. They can be renominated. If you're out there and you're listening, you've submitted a name back in 2012, and if that name never was elected, resubmit that name.
And I know, too, also, fellas, some years that there have been so many that the quality, that person, had they been nominated 3 or 4 years later, would probably have been at the top of the list.
Exactly.
Because early on, there were so many names that, you know, that were more public, that everyone knew more about. And like I said, those names, like you mentioned there a minute ago, John Clark Nelson, and those guys, you know, that's a long time ago.
Sure.
And all of these newer folks everybody was familiar with, and the folks that did the voting, you know, that's who they knew more about.
And I think that's what the founders want to keep going here, is those, that heritage category. Because as we all know, if history's not called in time, sometimes we lose it.
We will lose it.
So, that's really important here, that those that can remember back that far, you know, because Daniel and I can't.
No.
We can read things and dig up the history, but we don't know it like some others might, Thomas.
And the general public needs to realize that they are the ones that do the nominating.
They are. They do not get to vote. The people who vote, as Thomas mentioned, are the people who are already inducted. But, you know, we don't get a lot of nominations from those folks that's already inducted. I wish they would, but so many of them are not local here anymore. And the public, it's driven by them. Without public participation, we may not have a class this year.
And one more time, I just want to mention the website that has been set up by Bob Weaver. It's, of course, www.claycosportshof.com. And there is a list of everyone that is inducted on that website. There's also a nomination form that can be downloaded and printed off and resubmitted. And for those that don't have internet access or aren't computer savvy, you can also go to Clay County High School, pick up a form there, submit it there, or put it in the mail.
Okay, and I know this, once again, the deadline is now?
December 15th, so we're ticking away. We've got about two weeks.
And folks, we need to get some names in here so we can, you know, keep this thing going. And it's going to take place at halftime.
Halftime of the Saturday, January, I apologize, I want to make sure I'm right. January 13th, right after the first of the year, the class will be announced in the Del Hall Horizon newspaper the week of or a week prior to this induction ceremony at halftime of the girls' game on January 13th here at Clay County High School when they take on Cumberland County.
You know,
Burksville.
And, you know, it seems like it's so hard to get any type of public service announcement out in Clay County. No matter what we've going on, you know, you can't ever walk through town without someone saying, well, about 2 weeks after the Hall of Fame banquet is over, well, when are we going to do the Hall of Fame this year?
That's right. I can attest, I've had the Hall of Fame, the Clay County Sports Hall of Fame, on the front page of the newspaper about 5 times now. So we're doing our best to get the word out. We hope here with this radio show we'll get the word out even more. But if people will spread the word, that's always best, word of mouth. So
I guess we're going to have to enter the social media age. I know that me and you, Thomas, are both resistant to that movement and don't have Facebooks and stuff like that. But that is how the majority of people communicate. Unfortunately, they're not reading the newspaper enough. And I quickly want to say, go pick up a copy of The Horizon or subscribe to it. It's an outstanding publication. And our society is getting away from reading. We don't read like we used to.
And when you pick it up, leave 50 cents, right?
We appreciate that.
Fellas, thanks for being here. And I'd like to thank you personally for correcting my mistakes this week and getting the dates right on our activities going on here.
You're welcome, Thomas. I'm sure you're going to cover that. Always a great community event, and we're happy to help you publicize.
And I think I'm going to spend the rest of the time talking about that. I was hoping John would be here with me this morning so he and I could banter back and forth a little bit. But thanks, fellas, for being here. And once again, we're going to take a little short break, and we'll be back a little bit. We're going to discuss about the activities that's fixing to take place here in the courthouse this weekend and next weekend. Thanks, and I'll see you guys probably tomorrow night somewhere or another. So.
Yeah, probably will. Next Friday, Horizon Sports Network coverage of the Gordonsville game also be alongside us.
All right. Thanks, fellas.
Thank you.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Recycling means to use something again. Newspapers can be used to make new newspapers. Aluminum cans can be used to make new aluminum cans. Glass jars can be used to make new glass jars. Recycling often saves energy and natural resources. It almost always takes less energy to make a product from recycled materials than it does to make it from new materials. Don't forget to add up the savings and be energy wise.
As we grow older, aging can present emotional and behavioral problems that often go undetected or ignored. But this is not a part of the normal aging process. Senior Care Unit, located at Cumberland River Hospital in Salina, Tennessee, is devoted to helping older adults and their families deal with these changes. The Senior Care Unit provides a comprehensive approach with a highly skilled staff to pave the way for coping with these difficulties. Referrals to Senior Care can come from anyone at any time. Don't suffer alone. Senior Care is there to help your family when you need them most. For more information or to make a referral, please call 1-800-777-8553 or 931-243-5265.
Welcome back, everyone. As I said before my guest left, I had anticipated John being back from Phoenix, but I think Randy said he's somewhere on the road with the summer vacation folks, driving a mobile home back on an RV back home from Arizona, so he may not ever make it back to this country. But we wish him a safe journey on the rest of the way in, and hope maybe that if he has trouble, the Griswolds will come by and pick him up and, you know, carry him to the next station. But so we've got a birthday cake to give away here in a few minutes. And for the next little bit, I'd like to talk about the Christmas at the Courthouse, which is getting ready to start here this coming weekend. We will start with our mistletoe market, which takes place here in the historic courthouse downstairs in the old office building in the hallway. And we do this every second Saturday of December. But now next year we're thinking about moving it to the same weekend that this past weekend where we had the open house with the shop Small Town and had a tremendous crowd of folks here in Salina for that this past weekend. We had our Christmas parade then on Sunday afternoon, and we've got the courthouse all dressed up and decorated for Christmas here now. We've got our wreaths up, got the Christmas tree lighted. I started to say lit, but that probably wouldn't be correct. We have all the stuff lighted here around the courthouse, and it looks pretty good again. But the mistletoe craft market is exactly what the name says. It's a craft market for local craft folks that we've got Barbara's baskets. I say Brenda because Brenda was her sister that actually started her on this this thing, her late sister, Brenda Grace, but Barbara Boone from down in Lebanon, she's a local Clay Countyan, and she always brings in a number of her handcrafted baskets here to the courthouse. It's one of her big sale times, I know. And also our local artisan residence, Betsy Fox, also has a booth here, and I know we have some folks over in Tompkinsville that are coming. We usually have a few from up in Cumberland County and in some of the other counties here around Salina that bring in some of their wares. We have, you know, everything from Christmas wreaths. I think a lot of years we have some canned goods like jellies, jams, that type thing, some handmade clothing. But it is a craft market, and it's if you'd like to come over and join us, we don't charge much for coming in. It's $10 a space fee. And we usually try to have around a dozen or so quality crafters that come in here and set up their booths. I know the Caulfields from over in Tompkinsville are bringing their stuff over here this Saturday. So we're looking forward to, I think this is the first time they've been with us. We're looking forward to having them. And then that it'll open up at 9 o'clock to the public. And if you would like to set up over here, just be over here about 7 o'clock Saturday morning, and I'll have the courthouse open, and you can bring your stuff in, set it up, and give us $10 and see if you can sell something that day. And then the next weekend, we will have our Salina Christmas, which is our Christmas at the courthouse show here in the old courtroom upstairs. We're gradually trying to turn that old courtroom into a small community theater, even though we still do have some trials up there. I think we even had one trial this year where we had an overflow down at the regular courthouse. So this still is an active courthouse. It's kind of semi-active now, but it's still, we occasionally have a case up here. But this year, we're doing a takeoff on a thing called a Tuna Christmas, which takes place supposedly that in a little town in Texas. Well, we moved them to Salina, and it's now a Salina Christmas, and it's kind of based around something we do, and that is around a local radio show that is broadcasting on Christmas Eve, and they've got some problems there in town. They've got a Christmas phantom. The radio station has got a contest going to pick out the best decorated yard. We've got a little bit from the swap shop. I know Randy over there will enjoy that. We've got just a little bit from the swap shop. We've got, like I said, that's just a little bit of the actual Broadway play that did this. I think there was only two actors in about a two-hour play, and they played about 30 characters between them, men and women, with a lot of quick change. But we have a bunch of different actors playing each part. But it's a fun show, and also, between our little, we'll do a little bit of our radio show, and then we'll have some music on the radio. And we've got, of course, a good group of our local performers again, and I hope I'll probably miss some of these, but we have Brimstone Bluegrass, the Strong Family, and I think Joseph Smith and his group will be here. Emma and her dad will be here, the Ogletrees. They'll be doing some singing. The group moved to high school. I think they call themselves Harmony River. Tristan Stafford's going to be doing a few numbers. Amy Tilson and her daughter, Charlie Goad, will be here. Cherokee Up, a little girl down in the, I think she's in the 7th or 8th grade, has a little group that's going to do some Christmas songs. And also coming back, one of our musicians that spent a lot of time out on the road, back home again quite a bit, and that's Jimmy Stevens. And I know we have some others, and we will have a great show, and tickets will be $5, and they'll be available at the banks here after a while. And I think we're about to run down close to time to draw a name out for our winner of the birthday cake today. And we'll do that. We'll do a little drum roll here. And the winner today is Lindsay Scott. Lindsay, you have won the birthday cake. And thank Grandma and Grandpa for calling in your name to wish you a happy birthday. And we will have the name over to the chamber. And it'll take me about 15 minutes to get over and get this turned in. So at least give me 15 minutes to get over there and get this taken care of. And with that, I think we're getting close to winding up for today. I want to remind everyone that we do have a basketball game Friday night over at the high school against Gainesboro. And I think tonight that the junior high is going to Livingston Middle School, and they've got tremendous teams down there. I think the girls have lost one ball game, and the junior high boys are undefeated. And we'd like to congratulate our boys basketball team that beat our local rival over in Macon County Tuesday night down at the Clay County High School gym. They beat Macon County boys in a real, real hard-fought game. And they're now, of course, at 1-2, and the girls didn't have as good luck as the boys did. And they came out on the short end, but they're still at 2-1. And so we play Livingston Friday night, Gainesboro Friday night in the high school, and Livingston Middle School tonight over there in the junior high. And with that, I guess we're getting close to having this day in again. It was a pleasure having Thomas Weaver and Daniel Strong here with us this morning with the Hall of Fame. And folks, this is very important to our county and to our athletes here in Clay County to get an application and turn in someone that you think is very, very much worthy of being entered into the Clay County Athletic Hall of Fame. And it is not just for high school athletes, it's for anyone through an athletic activity of any kind that's brought renown and recognition to our county. And with that, I guess we can shut the barn door again here on today's show, and we'll see you again here next week at this same time, if good Lord's willing. And May the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet you again, and may we meet you here at 101.5 Kicks Country WVFB FM. And with that, good day, Clay County.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kicks Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them. Or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.